Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Dharma Wars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Top of the podcast to you. Oi, to toy toys, the Dharma Lars podcast on this wonderful St. Patrick's Eve. Hey, what? No, I mean, I claim. Yeah, what? Hey, fuck you, Ralph.
Fuck me, why?
Because you make fun of us. It's okay when I do it.
Why? I'm half Irish. Deal with
oh,
it,
that's right,
fucker.
Huh?
Yes, I'm half Irish.
He's been telling us this the whole time.
Jesus Christ.
Top of the St. Patrick's Day podcast.
My mother is Apache. And Irish. My father is German and Irish. I'm half Irish. I don't know what else you want from me.
No, I've come
and
to,
my name is German.
I've come to accept it. I believe you.
Yeah, whatever.
I do.
I could say hoi to toi toi all I want.
You can't. You could actually say. No, I'm not gonna.
I could also say many moons.
Yeah, that's right.
And I could also say
how to toi toi.
I could say Scheisse.
Scheisse. You've earned a lot in your ethnicity today.
Hell yeah.
Hey guys, it's the Dharma Lars podcast. This is Ben, and over here is Ralph.
And if you look at your little picture on the feed right now, you notice it's the Dharma Lars.
Ah, I haven't seen it yet.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to get it on my iPod and check it out.
Yeah.
You know what? With that of this week, I hope we don't start fucking up and people start calling us the Dharma Tards.
Why is that?
Because I think that's a funny nickname that I don't want people to call us.
I welcome it.
You think Dharma Tards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's if for everyone out there, that's Ralph. You can email Ralph with any Dharma Tards.
Well, info. I can't say it like Ben says it because, you know.
Because I am half retarded.
Yes.
Well, we've all learned a lesson here today. How was your week, Ralph?
Good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do anything? Or
Nothing major, not really.
We played on the Blades of Glory website.
The Blades Off Face Off or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, the for the upcoming movie with Will Ferrell and John Hader. There's a website where you can take your face and paste it on an action clip of the two figure skating together.
And it looks like that you and a friend are figure skating.
It was that was fun.
Or in our case. In our case, we put Will Ferrell's face on Will Ferrell's body.
And John Hader's face on John Hader's body.
And send it to each other.
At the exact same time. Independent of each other, we sent each other that
Did
joke.
You at any point think to put the opposite faces?
Yeah, but then I thought that's not nearly as funny.
It's exactly what I thought.
You had like just regular Will Ferrell and John Hader. I had Anchorman and
Napoleon Dynamite.
So at least we're kind of different.
Yes.
I went to the second page in Google, and you were on
the first
page. It was quite a gift of the Magi moment.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
I didn't think you would.
The Magi.
Gift of the Vimagi. I sold my C batteries to buy you a dildo.
I don't know that story.
That's the one where the chick sells her hair to buy her husband a watch chain. And then the husband sells his watch to buy her hair combs. And it's the worst Christmas ever. And then she realizes that her hair will grow out again, but he'll never grow a new watch. Advantage her.
I think I have heard that story.
Or something.
There might be a reason I forgot it. What a crappy story.
It's not the happiest.
Is that an Irish story?
It is. And that's why we're talking about it today.
I only know half of that story. That's why.
Ah. You start off with them selling the gifts, and then you end up with a story about Coyote.
Mystery Lodge.
Raven, you trickster. You're so Raven.
That's so de-Raven.
Yeah. Speaking of this week's episode.
Do you want to get into the episode already?
No.
I don't have any notes, really.
We haven't bullshitted enough yet.
I have like half a page of notes, Ryan Moore.
This
producer
episode,
extraordinaire. People know your last name.
He's Anonymous. Ryan Anonymous.
Whatever.
We saw 300. We should talk about that.
Yeah, that movie was cool. And our favorite person from the island was in that movie.
Paolo was all over that movie.
Yeah, it was. He was
giant. Taking his Persian shit all over the Spartans.
I've heard two different people ask me, is he really that tall?
Are these two different people Dharmatards?
I don't know. Maybe they just thought Gerard Butler was a midget.
Oh, yeah. Perspective. Well, maybe.
He was I could say that because I'm half midget.
It only shows on your penis.
What?
Because it's the size of a midget. Xerxes is like 12 feet tall in that movie, and he talks with a voice like a Zentradi, which was cool. I mean,
Zentradi. What's that from?
Robotech.
Oh, okay.
No, that's you clean eyes.
Was he a Zentradi in this film?
Essentially, yeah. Sweet. He was like an ancient Zentradi trying to conquer the Micronian Spartans.
With his giant hands on the on Gerard Butler's back.
Yeah.
Hey, brother.
Leonidas, you're my number one guy.
That movie was cool.
I don't have enough. I can't do the reverb as a.
It's funny because no matter how vast they make the landscapes look, it still feels claustrophobic, like it was shot on a 2 foot wide stage.
So you think that it kind of blew up in their face, or it was kind
they
of
need
a,
to kind of make it try a little harder with the
to make more scope,
just make it seem vast.
Now you would have thought that if you didn't know that it was all shot on a 2 foot stage.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, just the style of it was such that...
What'd you think of the music? Because I don't normally notice that in the movies. Okay,
here's the thing with the music. Okay. Now, Stevie, my wife of like a while now. But about, me and Stevie, at least a week. Stevie and I have been going out since 99.
Yeah, you guys went and saw that movie together.
And yeah, we did. Sleepy Hollow.
That's a trick where you pretend you know.
She now notices film music thanks to me.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to me, she also thinks that King Caesar is her favorite.
Her favorite Godzilla monster?
Yes. But
thanks
anyway.
Thanks to you, I now notice flares.
She hates electric guitar and scores if they're like 1980s eyes closed, mouth open electric guitar. Like like arena rock guitar.
Wind
like,
blowing in your feathered hair.
300 has some electric guitar in it.
Yes,
and
it does.
I thought that it was fitting for the film.
It was
because
it's badass.
It's not necessarily a period piece.
No, it's too fantastic to be a period
piece. Yeah, so you know what? When I heard the electric guitar, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Go for it.
Yeah, the electric guitar fits in just as well as that dude with blade hands or that chick with giant nipples.
Or the goat on mandolin.
Yeah.
A problem I have with my least favorite film score of all time, which is Titanic, which is a huge pile of shit all around except for Billy Zane, is that that's a total period piece, and they try to get the period down correctly.
Yeah.
But James Horner, who's a douchebag and a half, has put in shitty synthesizers instead of getting a damn choir for the most expensive movie like ever
so
made.
When it's people supposed to be non-vocal, non-verbal vocalizing.
I'm fine with electronics in Scorpion King. I'm not fine with electronics in
Titanic. Because Titanic takes itself seriously and Scorpion King does not.
Yes.
Okay, that I think that's a valid concern.
Anyway. You asked about the score.
What about episode 2? Guitar use in that. I think Stevie loves that.
Stevie hates that. The track 3 in the episode 2 score, if you have the album.
It's when Obi-Wan is on that robot, right?
Yeah, it's during a chasing. But it's totally lost in the sound effects in the movie, so it doesn't really show up. She just hates it on the album.
Yeah.
But that's the style of guitar she hates.
So there you
She go. Likes John Powell's music for any of his action movies. Born Identity, Supremacy,
that's
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And he uses guitar not as like a solo instrument, but as a rhythm instrument that goes along
with
the rhythm of the
There's
score.
No like sustained riffs. There's no one like walking up and down the
So Stevie was cool with the guitar in 300.
Right on.
But she was not cool with the comment that we made a couple weeks ago on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
And she actually called into the show. And it seems like she blamed me, and I'm pretty sure Ben Johnson, whose voice you should recognize,
is
the person. We all know our last name.
We mentioned him.
She calls me out on it.
So we've been talking for the past three or four podcasts about how people apparently can't tell us apart, And that even fits Stevie? She also can't tell us apart?
I don't know if she just didn't remember.
Or maybe she just thinks you're at fault anyway.
Yeah.
I'd like to support that. I think she's probably right. I know what it's about, but...
Wait till you listen to the call at the end of the show.
Oh, boy.
And I'll bet you that you wish it didn't happen to me.
Oh, jeez.
Mr. Giving River Phoenix. Not River Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix, a mustache guy.
Ooh.
You said it.
All right.
And I took the hit.
Well, we'll have to see what happens. So stay tuned for the thrilling conclusion.
Her favorite guy and her least favorite object in the world.
Oh.
You put them together and I took the blame for
it. I get it.
All right. What do you say we get into Lost and upset more people?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah.
To upset people.
Yeah.
And get into Lost.
Let's get a mustache on Jen. What do you say?
All right. Let's to it, me lado.
All right, par avion, the Irish tradition of airmail. You know, the beginning of the episode, I was thinking, hey, you know what? She reminds me of the bitter beer old guy face.
Oh, again, you with the scrunchie. I think she was squinchy. Amazing. Squishy, sorry.
Scrunchy is something that Hurley puts in his hair when he plays golf. Squinchy is something you do when you drink bitter beer in a commercial.
Yeah, Hurley better make sure he doesn't get his hair caught in Claire's squinchy face.
Black versus blonde, I did think she looked good, but the
black. She looked amazing. I seriously, at that first shot of her, her eyes are gorgeous. And you know what? She crashed my car, by the way.
Oh, is that your car?
I'm pretty sure, because when I was watching the episode on my iPod on the way to work this morning.
Wait, I'm driving one of those.
I wasn't doing it for very long, but yeah, I looked up from the picture of the dashboard to my dashboard, and I was like, wait a minute.
This is a minor detail I didn't put on my notes, but I noticed that the indicator light for seatbelt was turned on in the shot of the dashboard.
Hmm.
So someone wasn't wearing their seatbelt.
Dope. Or maybe someone got thrown clear of their seatbelt. The light turned on. Bing!
I don't know how fast you need to be going.
For someone to go out the windshield?
While you're trying to turn right.
And she was like 10 feet from the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was not in a good state.
Ejector seat.
And Aunt Lindsay's a fucking bitch.
Well, that's my notes for later.
Oh, okay.
And I used the C word. Well, I wrote down C word.
Crotch rot?
Get that clam trap out of here. All right, guys. Have we started talking about the episode? Oh, we have.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the
episode. We're in the episode section. Look at the picture. I'm sure it's awesome.
Hey, look at there it is. It's green. It's like the month of the day of the thing. All right. The first note I have is G-Day.
G-Day.
That's what it said on the bowl of fruit left outside Claire's. I'm assuming it meant good day.
Good day? It's a G-Day. It's like Australia and the UK. Like in their school system, they have A through G days, and they rotate their subjects on platoon. No.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just trying to lie.
You're doing a great job. You're also doing a great job confusing me. I'm assuming it said good day.
Good day. Good day. And he said that he had an assortment of mysterious island fruits, which as far as I could tell was banana and pineapple.
I think that he needed to put a pause in between some of those words. I think it was mysterious island, comma, fruits.
Oh, he was calling her fruits?
No, he was
fruits from the mysterious island.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I thought he was just being clever. Mysterious island fruits, like this mysterious banana. Who knows what that is?
They have bananas in Britain. Right? They have G-Days. That's what they eat on G-Day.
G-Day is when they learn music.
Man, I really don't have a lot of notes, so let's see how far this jumps into the episode.
Okay.
Locke mentions that if you warned me about C4.
Yeah.
So Locke used that as an excuse, even though he already knew that there was C4 in there, which is funny that Locke will use any excuse to throw back into someone's face, whether it's true or not.
Or whether it's true or whether it's on topic.
Yeah.
Because later on, when he kills the guy, he's like, well, if you'd asked me if we wanted to bring him along.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about. You just killed him.
Is that what semantics is? I don't know the meaning of that word, but.
No. Oh. Semantics is like when you debate the actual meaning of the word rather than getting into what you're actually talking about.
Got it.
So
it kind of is, right?
Kate says, nobody's killing anyone.
Nobody's leaving any place.
Everyone's an expert.
Locke holds the others responsible.
For what?
Oh, that's not the others as in the others as we know.
Oh, like Saeed.
That actually went with my last note as depicted by the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I think about Locke? I have a theory about Locke.
Go for it. Are we going to have to fight?
No, probably not. I think Locke killed Rose and Bernard probably.
And didn't tell anybody?
Guess what he did to the other guy that knew that he was paralyzed? Killed him right there on screen. We haven't seen Rose since SOS, right?
Yeah.
Where she confirms to Locke that she knew about
his... We have seen Bernard, though.
Well...
Bernard was in the season finale of season 2.
So what you're saying is Locke's been also posing as Rose so Bernard doesn't get suspicious?
Yes.
Like a Madame Butterfly kind of thing?
I don't even know that story either. Is that Irish?
Yes. Everything is.
I wish you'd explain these things to me. That's not Irish.
Madame Butterfly is the story of a dude that poses as a girl and marries a guy.
Man, I'm learning all kinds of stuff today.
You sure are. Knowledge is power.
Locke likes dogs.
Yeah. It's like, shoot him like a dog? Nah, I like dogs. Shoot him like something worse.
Shoot him like a piece of turd or something.
Yeah.
Drop it like it's hot.
What else? Nut me up, Nutter.
Claire and the giant peach.
Yeah, you thought that she was trying to get the birds to fly.
Yeah,
giant
she's
peach
like, I need to make a net so we can fly out of here.
Man, Claire was like really obsessed with the birds, and then also
because it's been 2.5 seasons, she's finally come up with something useful to do.
She was like so angry at Charlie and Desmond, and you know what I decided? She just had a baby about a month ago.
Uh huh.
Maybe it's her first post Aaron Menzies.
Ew.
You know, I'm just, I mean, I know it's kind of a thing that guys throw out there a lot is that if a girl's acting up, she's probably having that time of the month. But
that
hey.
That didn't even cross my mind.
It had to come from somewhere. The baby had to come from somewhere.
That's, yeah.
You don't like that theory, huh?
Grody.
Keep going.
Son's accent is completely gone now. Good for her.
She has a completely
American accent.
It's a bad habit.
It just seems strange.
It just sounded different.
It sounded different. The sun is hot.
In this episode, you noticed that?
I always notice that. Okay, now I have not thought of what Sawyer was going to say. And I was kind of hoping I'd come up with something by now.
But you haven't?
But he stops himself from calling Claire a nickname, and this is the sentence he says. A net for what, Bar?
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets stopped in the middle of a sentence. What was he going to call Claire that has to do with a net, or Australian?
I think he was going to call her Barbie. Not named after the popular Mattel doll, but named after what Claire and her people put shrimps on.
Ah. I was thinking about the net. I thought, for some reason, I thought Barbarella.
Barbarella.
Does that make
one.
Any sense to
no.
you? You've seen the movie, I haven't.
Barbarella.
Is blonde as well.
I don't think there's any...
Just like Barbie, the doll, like you mentioned.
That's true. That is true about Barbarella. But no, I think maybe Barbie is the most obvious.
Was he going to call her Barbar? Because he ran out of nicknames?
Barbar.
And he's like, oh, thank God I lost that bet last week because I sure ran out of nicknames. Just in time. A net for what, Barbar?
It's Babar. He's getting ready to recycle again. He's never known anyone for 2 months before. So... previously,
awesome.
It's worked.
Thanks, Barbar.
Barbar.
Claire mentions
a
her
net for
plan.
What? Barbara Bush.
Ooh, Claire mentions her plan. Jin understands it without interpreter. Did you
yeah.
notice that?
Yeah, Jin's getting really good.
Yeah, she said, I need to get some fish and make chum and make a net for the birds.
And he actually...
Jin makes the motion like snaps his finger and points or something where he understands what she says and leaves.
And he actually communicates to her in English later on. He says, please help son or something like that.
And then son's like, I don't need any help with English, bitch. Whatever.
So
accent's American.
They're sitting there on the beach chopping up fish to try to lure in a bird. Mm-hmm. And Desmond shoots the gun and she gets wicked pissed.
Well, yeah, because listen, if you've been on an island for 80 days.
Right.
And you haven't done anything.
And this is your
first whatsoever.
The first thing you've done.
Yes.
Other than give birth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Help out everybody.
She's—I don't know. She ramps it up so much.
She's never on the show, so you might as well get
shine.
As much time in there. Man. So this goes along with last week. Here's my note. Danielle avoiding question. Bracket equals full of shit. Closing bracket.
Now, she not only avoided the question that Kate posed to her about, you know, why aren't you all bent out of shape about Alex, but she also distracted them when Mikhail was about to say something.
Yeah, she's full of shit.
She's the one that stops him from saying what he knows about Locke.
I'll get to more on this in a little bit because I have another note that
I have another load that I'm going to drop on.
It is, and it's gonna come in later because it's definitely something I want to bring up about this whole Danielle is full of shit, which I will until this show ends, and she is not full of shit. I will believe it no matter what's said on the show. She's full of shit.
I'm looking forward to seeing a resolution to that.
Because there's a couple of editing things I thought were strange in the show.
Okay.
The first one, well, let me just do the one that I was telling you about. I believe it's Saeed that says he shot one of his own people. Like, he just says that about Mikhail.
Right.
And it cuts to Danielle.
Oh.
Now, I've edited things before, and there's reasons why you make cuts.
Yeah.
There's definitely reasons why you edit what you edit.
And we know from observing the show that they do like to throw in little premonitions.
Yeah. So when Saeed says he shot one of his own... No, Locke said he shot one of his own people.
And it cuts to Danielle.
Then it cuts to Danielle looking. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Whether she is an other and she's full of shit or not, the producers definitely want me to believe
that she's full of shit. Be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the editors, specifically the editors.
Another interesting editing note that I noticed.
And Danielle.
As soon as Mikhail mentions the electromagnetic pulse, I believe it cuts to John Locke with a very concerned look on his face.
Hmm.
I'm assuming that just the mention of the EMP kind of brings him back to whatever happened to him in between the season finale and then Final Instructions.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
So,
yeah, because that was...
I think that'll come into play next week.
Be interesting to learn.
Because these are definitely editing choices that I took notice of.
And you're taking notes about editing choices. My note here says Desmond made of heroin. Because that's the only reason I could think of Claire for being so pissed at Charlie for hanging out with Desmond in the forest. As if Desmond was made of heroin.
Rubbing Desmond all in his teeth.
Stashing some Desmond in his vans.
Down by the river. John... the John Locke I know was paraplegic. Either or.
He knows. He knows Saeed's last name, Kate's last name, and John's situation.
You know what? If I know your guys' last name.
Yeah, so does the internet. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, we've already said our last names on other podcasts. I don't know what Ryan Moore is.
I'm trying to get Ryan all riled up.
Jesus Christmas.
I'm trying to get all Riley'd up.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, so what that he knows your name? Say something more
Of course, profound. I could not know Saeed Jarrah, son of the famous Saeed Jarrah, or I could not possibly know the fugitive Kate Austin.
Who sees black horses.
Yeah. A little bit more than just their names.
Yeah. But whatever that.
He was doing a cold reading, like John Edwards style. And, of course, I could not know anything about an L. I'm getting an L from over here. Is there an L? Maybe an N?
Jen's English getting better.
Is it me, or is there, like, when Mikhail talks, his accent, and then Saeed talks in his accent, I sometimes can't tell the difference in accents.
Like, you don't know who's talking, or
I know who's talking because I'm watching the screen at the same time. But, yeah, I think... For some reason, to me, the Russian accent and the Iraqi accent sound very similar. Maybe because they were...
Same acting coach or same dialect coach.
Yeah.
Shit, maybe Russia sounds similar to Iraqi.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I guess, throwing it out there.
Aunt Lindsay's a C word.
Aunt Lindsay's a bitch. Yeah, that's the note I'm on right now.
Sweet.
That lady was fucking a bitch. What was Claire supposed to do? Sit around with glass all up in her beautiful black hair?
No.
Yeah. So fuck that chick.
And for everything else, for just being a total C word.
Is she the one in Christian's episode with? Oh yeah.
I like saying C word.
Yeah,
it's funny.
So far, I'm the only one that's dropped the actual C bomb. Was she the one from Christian's episode? Or,
yes.
I mean, on Alicia's
yes.
episode?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Two for the road.
Two for the road. Thank you.
Did you see that post on the Blogspot I wrote today where it's like I put in like five episode titles within my description of what I thought was going on?
No, that's
check
awesome.
It out. It's scottandsteve.blogspot.com.
You know what? Christian, this is something I wanted to point out. Christian paid for the bills.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, huh? And I think it's important that he obviously paid for the bills from that time until Claire got on the plane.
Yeah.
At least. Or until he died, I guess. Or maybe set up a trust. Who knows? Even though he thinks she should pull the plug.
Yeah.
Or do the equivalent. So.
He was more looking out for her.
Yeah. He has an opinion about what he thinks should be done. But he was still willing to pay for the bills for indefinitely and let Claire come to her own decision.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I felt really bad for him this episode.
Yeah, me too.
He realizes his mistakes. He is telling Claire this is what's better for her, but at the same time, I also want to do what you want to do.
Yes. And he was clearly made that sacrifice. He calls her honey, he calls her kiddo.
Yeah.
And it's clear that she's gonna go away from him forever, and he runs after her to catch her. And I was like, oh, that's kinda touching.
Yeah.
She was wearing that cast like a fucking hot goth accessory.
Yeah,
somehow
it was
that
like
cast
anime
was
or
hot.
Something. Yeah, it was like an anime. It was like she was punk.
Yeah, she had like this cast and
I have a knife.
T-shirt. You know about 100 ways of saying please kill me, Mr. Youngblood. Oh, I have an idea of how Claire and Jack can discover their siblingry.
Catch a falling star?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Jack sings it to Aaron.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Like if Jack ends
if Jack
up babysitting.
Well, I want to talk about Jack after one more note.
Okay, note it up.
King of the Seagulls.
King of the Seagulls. King of the Seagulls. I have a chair.
Go do this. Go do this.
Wow, what do you mean, King of the Seagulls?
What do you think I mean by King of the Seagulls?
I don't. You know, I can't even.
Well, you can imagine what a King of the Seagulls would be.
It would be like a seagull with a crown.
No.
A seagull.
The leader of the seagulls.
Oh.
That apparently Desmond caught because as soon as Claire threw that seagull in the air,
all the other seagulls
all the
go following
followed.
After. Finally, he's free. We can go. You've been holding us up, Carl. Fuck. We're trying to get back. And you know how she had to call them seabirds? Because she didn't want us all to think of a certain 80s band. She's like, oh, I just saw a flock of seabirds. So none of us would want to run.
No, she just didn't want to piss off
so
Charlie.
Far away.
She didn't want to piss off Charlie.
She didn't want to give Paolo an idea for a hairstyle to be handed out to someone on the island.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That dude's a barber.
Next week, we're going to see...
Or a babar, according to...
a barbar.
Sawyer.
Thanks, babar. I have one more note. Okay. I wrote down A-Team.
We have an excellent call from our good friend in Orange.
About the A-Team?
About the A-Team.
Okay, good.
I think we should leave it up to him.
Okay.
Because he actually called twice. I'm going to splice them together as if it were one call.
Okay.
So that's a little insight.
That's interesting. This
works.
Is the most I've ever known about the calls before the show.
I know. Cool. I'm really excited about this week's calls. Great calls.
We got like six calls on Wednesday, or is it Thursday? We got like six calls on Thursday.
Yeah.
And two calls on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Pretty dope. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, I think Claire was hot. I think she was also maybe a little unforgiving of Charlie for him not really doing anything wrong.
Yeah, but it all worked out at the end. Because
it all worked out.
Dude. Think about Charlie now.
Yeah.
When a guy who sees the future literally told her, this guy already died for you like at least
like
three times.
Yeah.
Trying to do something for you.
And he died for her even without Desmond's knowledge when they threw him in the tree. So
yeah,
she should know that he's good for her.
And she was really pissed at Desmond considering he saved her life five days ago.
Yeah. He fucked up her little bird plan.
He did save her life.
He did, though.
But now everything's okay. They're all cool. Everyone's cool with each other.
What'd you think of that little message?
It was nice. It reminded me of Lord of the Rings, Two Towers.
What
part? Samwise message where he's telling the story of everybody and then is cutting away to different people that...
He wouldn't have made it very far without Sam.
Not that part.
Oh. Well, what am I thinking of?
I don't know. You're
thinking
of the
what
part
are you
after.
Thinking of, I guess, is what
I'm
asking.
I'm thinking
asking.
Of the part where
thinking.
He's standing in that town that's not Gondor with the river, and he's saying, what if those folks in the story, you know, I don't know what the fuck. He's standing, it's Sam standing in a window giving a speech, and it cuts all over to Middle Earth.
Showing where everyone is.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Sean Astin's like crying. Yeah.
It was a lot of details, very flowery.
But if you're going to, I'm sure the king of the seabirds can deal with it.
Come with me, my flock. I don't know another Flock of Seagulls song. I was going to say, let's run.
Too shy. That's not them, is it?
That's Kajagoogoo.
There's another one.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there's.
They're probably way popular.
Now let's get to my last note.
Okay.
Backpacks/ walking around like a campus.
Yeah.
Those others sure are just hanging out, having a good time.
They're sure aggressively being right there. Backpack, wheelbarrow, pool cue, playing touch football.
Jack, at the end of this episode.
That was awesome.
I mentioned something. I forget what I referenced his face to. I just said it was like the look on his face when he spiked the ball was like a Hans and Franz reference. But I think more accurately is in the movie Kingpin, where they're playing the ELO's showdown, and Bigger McCracken starts off and he's about to throw a strike or something, and he's got his mouth open, and he's shaking his head like he's about to do like the greatest thing ever, and that's the look
so
that
full
Jack
of himself.
Had.
Jack,
he was so fired up on that spike.
He was having so much fun.
I was like, there's no way that this was a cut, like this was a shot that they intended.
That they thought they were going to use.
Yeah, that it was an extra shot, and he's like, we got to put this in.
This is the fun take.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool because you see Jack running at you, and I totally got faked out. I was like, Jack's running.
Yeah.
Save him. And then not so much. He's just having fun with his good old buddy Tom.
Tom's awesome.
Now, we had a debate about this before we started recording. I was saying it hasn't been that long for him to be already playing football with everyone. But you say it's been about
a while,
like eight,
well
nine
over
days.
A week. Yeah. Because Enter 77, which was last week's episode, took place on the 77th day.
Right.
This week's episode took place on the 80th day.
True.
As stated by Charlie.
Yeah.
So right there is 5 days since.
Since.
Trisha
Tanaka?
Since
Enter 77?
Enter 77. Trisha Tanaka.
Since Trisha Tanaka, yeah.
It's been 5 days. Then we didn't see Jack in Trisha Tanaka. We didn't see Jack in Flashes Before Your Eyes. We saw Jack in Stranger in a Strange Land. So there has to be like over a week.
He got on that boat a while ago.
Well over a week.
Still playing football.
But what I'm saying is it's not as immediate.
He and Tom were already kind of having a connection.
Because usually we think of the island timeline as maybe 2 days per episode.
Yeah.
Maybe one day and one night. Whereas I'm saying that it wasn't just, you know, four episodes ago, aka 4 days. This has been more like a week and a half.
Ryan says, how long did he stonewall them in the Hydra? But I think there is a difference between being locked up in a cage and being allowed to go to the campus.
Which I guarantee you, Jack's next flashback will take place between, it'll be an island flashback.
It'll be an island only flashback.
From the time we saw him on the boat to the time we saw him playing.
You know what? I think what it is he's probably like on exercise detail and they're going to put him right back in a cage. Or they've totally brainwashed him.
Yeah, we won't find out till later.
I know, part of me doesn't want to believe that that's the case because we haven't done any brainwashing.
We'll find out.
Except for Carl with his Clockwork Orange technique, as Ryan is showing with the universal mime for Clockwork Orange. And I don't mean raping some girl. I mean he's holding his eyes open.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm not even going to hypothesize until the episode happens.
No, but it was cool. It was a cool fake out ending.
Yeah.
So now do you want to get on to the next section?
Yeah, which is?
Next week on Lost.
Yeah!
In a neat little town they call Brockton, apprenticed in trade I was bound.
The following week on Lost.
3X13, The Man from Tallahassee.
Tallahassee.
It is a lock episode.
It's a lock episode that takes place in America's Wang, apparently.
I guess.
One can only assume.
Not Tallywhacker, it's Tallahassee.
Tallahassee is in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah,
Ryan says yeah.
The
Man from Tallahassee. I remember watching the commercial, and I thought it's kind of going to be like what Kate did, but the episode title really should be What Happened to Locke's Legs.
That's what I was hoping it'd be called.
Why can't Locke walk?
Locke on golf. I don't even know if that's any relevance.
He seems to confront Ben Linus.
Gun.
With a gun, yeah. He seems to gunfront Ben Linus.
And so I'm assuming the C4 comes into play from that one preview we saw where the house exploded and we didn't know.
Yeah, he's probably going to use it to threaten or something.
Suicide bomb. What if he dies?
Wow. I would be sad because I like John Locke.
Oh, not according to your theories on how stupid he is.
My theory of that it was stupid for him to not to be watching Mikhail still stands.
Yes.
I can like someone and think they're stupid. Wink.
Ryan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was for Ryan.
So it looks like it's going to be fun. I mean, I don't really... They really didn't show anything new except that confrontation. It
nothing
was all
too crazy, but the hits
they
just
showed
keep on
like
coming.
All the junk that we've seen from the past.
Yeah,
like the wheelchair on fire
and his little black sock with his gold toes.
Yeah, I know that.
So I wonder if we'll see Helen again.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see Justin Chadwick,
the kid from War of the Worlds,
where we left off. Whatever happened? When we last left Locke in a flashback, they were standing in the woods and Locke had a gun pointed at him.
And then
that's it.
Yeah, we never even found out what happened. So, yeah,
get
maybe.
Shot in the legs.
Go directly from there.
So
yeah, that's next week on Lost.
That's it. That's all I have. I mean, it looks the preview didn't show much. Can't wait for next week. We'll talk about it more then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So from there, you want to go on and move to Seattle, Jimmy?
Let's go, Jimmy. Take it away.
Hello, everyone. Take a listen to this. It's something new. It's a nice little transition coming up.
Well, looks like we're here.
And yes, Locke's right. We are here once again. This is Jimmy in Seattle, coming in with the Darmalar's Lost score. Par Avion, Clairecentric. Last week in the midweek show, I actually played this theme cue in the background and suggested that maybe we hear this. This was written from season one, the track called Think Clearly. We never heard it at all. Well, I didn't hear it. There were quite a few things that I did hear, though, so we're going to touch on those coming up. I think as far as new music associated with Claire, I can only think of some background music we heard. I'm talking about the scene with her mother in the hospital.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, this does sound unfamiliar to me.
So sorry for all the awful things I said to you in the car. That I hated you. And that I wished you weren't my mother and I wished you were dead.
Before I bring us all right down... We'll end it right there, but I do feel that this is probably just incidental music in the background. Probably hear this from time to time the next time someone says goodbye or dies.
I'm so sorry, Mum.
I feel miserable now.
I'm so sorry.
Here's something much more interesting in my opinion. At the Darmalars, we're always referring to Michael Giacchino as being Hermanesque. As mentioned in earlier shows, we're referring to Bernard Herrmann, a very, very well-known composer. Hitchcock's favourite. This is, in fact, you're listening to part of the Psycho score. Anyway, Herrmann-esque violins made an appearance a couple of weeks ago and again this episode.
So they can leave the island?
I don't know, John.
Now, you're listening to Trisha Tanaka is Dead is 2 weeks ago. Listen to the violins.
We escaped with one of them, a kid named Carl. He said that they live on this island. He could have taken us there, but Sawyer let him go.
Why?
You're going to have to ask Sawyer.
Coming in full now. Memorize this.
Kate, where are you going?
I don't care what Jack said.
right here.
They've got him and we have to get him back. I owe him that. So I'm going to get help.
And we talked about that.
Help from who?
A couple of weeks ago. But this episode, Par Avion, we had exactly the same notation appear in the moment when the C4 explosive was revealed. Listen to the way the strings come in. Note for note.
I thought you didn't know there was any C4.
Well, I stand corrected.
Why did you take it?
You never know when a little C4 might come in handy.
You'll have to do better than that.
I also think by bringing some brass into it, it almost also has a John Barry feel. Almost like a Bondish sound, and we've talked about that as well. So we have some familiar patterns here, and we're going to hear those two chords, that Q, a lot, I believe. But this wasn't the only Bernard Herrmann reference that caught my ear. Listen to the background now. Bum, 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 bum. You've probably figured I want you to listen to that. Listen close. There it was. Very similar style though. And obviously this is Kate climbing the fence. Now, if you listen to the Darmalars episode, The Glass Ballerina, we talk great depth about the Herrmann Giacchino connections and influences. This is a really good example. And I'd also like to say that that would be the moment when Locke was off my team. I'd tie him up. Probably torture him, send him back to the camp.
I guess I'll go next.
Grab Jin, Sawyer, bring them back, and get someone I can trust. I think he's one of them. And as you can tell in the background now, the violins agree. Is he one of them? This is exactly the same music that appeared at the end of this episode, when they looked across to the office camp and saw Jack playing football. Very disconcerting piece. Yes, it's all about invoking a mood, and I think the themes that are coming through and the styles of season 3 are certainly doing that.
What the hell is going on, Desmond?
I'll tell you what's going on. Listen in the background.
See that spot over there?
Hear that little shimmery violin?
That's where Charlie slipped and fell in.
This is Desmond's...
He got pounded again and again by the rocks.
...out theme we were talking about.
Broke his neck.
What? What are you talking about?
Very faint.
That's where Charlie died.
Yep, commercial break. Now, they use it again, actually, in this scene here.
If we can catch one. Okay, so here's the plan. First, we got to cut up these fish.
Now, at this point, on the show, you see Desmond standing on the side of the beach.
Charlie, can you go get some knives?
Now, the scene is Charlie and Claire. You've got Desmond's theme in the background. Because they're about to have a discussion about something to do with Desmond's premonitions.
I watched a lot of nature shows with my mum.
Doesn't exactly make you an expert. I don't want to see you wasting your time, that's all.
So what happened to seizing the day?
So in the same way,
sorry,
when Sawyer thinks of Kate,
that's
and you
point.
Hear Kate's theme or elements of in the background, we're in the same position now with Desmond. When he's being referred to, his theme transgresses across the scene.
Thank you.
Well, we have a ton to talk about. And the good news is, we're talking about it again in only a couple of days. That's right, we're still doing the midweek show. So sometime Monday night, all going well, we're going to have about another 10 minutes or so on the episode that we just talked about, Par Avion. Still a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the last scene. I also want to give a preview of John Locke's episode. And there's plenty to talk about there. So, going out to the sounds of Sibel. This is Jimmy in Seattle. Big shout out to Ben, Ralph, producer Ryan, T-Dot Kim, Amy and Little Rock. To all of us and you, be good and namaste.
Gracias, mi amigo.
That's Spanish.
Or Happy Irish Day.
Is that what it's Spanish for?
Yep.
We were talking a big game about wishing Jimmy a happy birthday last week, and then he politely sent us an email saying, guys, you're way off. It's not until later. So.
Hey, whatever. That guy told me his birthday was coming up, and I could wish him a happy birthday all I want.
That's right. It was a little early.
I'll continue to tell him happy birthday
until
the end of the year.
So,
I have a couple notes about his Kate theme, talking about that and his correlations with Bernard Herrmann, her correlations with Bernard Herrmann.
Okay.
Michael Giacchino, I'm wondering now if maybe his John Barry is, he uses the John Barry influence for only Locke and maybe Bernard Herrmann for only Kate. Like maybe he's channeling other composers for individual characters.
Wow, that's interesting.
I'd like to check that out. Also, one thing that Jimmy didn't mention, which he might mention on the special Lost Revisited on Monday, which you can get on the Darmalars feed. So those of you listening on the LPN, subscribe to the Darmalars feed, and you'll get some more content from Jimmy.
Pick up more of Jimmy's take on the music of Lost and other things.
There was a different rendition of Locke's theme this week. Locke was feverishly cutting down the tree to make the bridge to go over the sonic wave.
To make that
fence.
Giant wang.
It was like Locke's theme, but it was kind of sped up and it was more driving. It was a more, like it almost, the rhythm of it went with each
hack blow
of the axe. So
it was the Locke cutting down a tree theme.
We'll see if Jimmy has more to say this Monday.
Yeah, look forward to that.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Happy birthday.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, man.
Yes, because
he's in the world and everyone in the world enjoys St. Patrick's
Day. How's British, like, diplomacy with Ireland? Do they love each other?
I don't think there's much of a history there between the two. I don't think
they're down with the.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, people, but I don't. I think they barely have anything to do with each other.
They have that channel, so I'm sure that helps everything get along. Okay.
But tomorrow is a day where we put things aside and enjoy corned beef.
Yeah.
No matter how many channels might divide us.
Yeah.
Do you think there's chuds in the channel?
What is chud?
What? Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. It's like a classic
Mallman?
Cult horror film, pretty much. That should be on your list.
I'll put it on Netflix.
Chud. What do you have at home from Netflix?
I'm not going to say.
Why?
I already told Ryan, and I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say.
I said Brokeback Mountain.
I'm not going to say.
Wow.
I'm not
going to
say.
Fine.
I'm not going
to
say.
I don't have anything to say. We've got like three.
Awesome.
We've got three discs of 6 Feet Under.
Awesome.
Go back.
Space Hunter's coming next week.
Well, see, that's cool.
Yeah, there you go. Lady Hawk.
That's on my queue too.
Yeah, but it's in my house right now.
There's nothing wrong with Lady Hawk.
It's probably from Stevie's queue. I don't know.
For
all I know. Partly lady, partly real. Lady Hawks.
Nice.
Big fan of the Silverhawks.
So what you got going on this weekend, buddy?
I'm going to be in Arizona. Any of you guys listening to the podcast this week from the AZ or the Zone?
As we like to call it.
Go to the Angel game Saturday, go to the Cubs game Sunday, and look for me. My head is shaved, and I will be wearing Angels gear.
And he'll be in like left field, right?
You're
playing left field this year
for
the Angels.
Yes. We're training?
You're a three-tool player.
So that's what's going on. And that's it for me. What do you got going?
St. Patty's Day, man. I'm going to be cooking that corned beef, by which I mean Becky's going to be cooking that corned beef. And I think I'll be having like this stew.
Is she your Irish slave?
No, she's my Irish servant.
Ooh.
She's got her freedom.
You give her money?
No. Oddly enough. A salary deferred, we'll just say. And I think I'll be eating a lot of this stew that's made with like stout beer and potatoes and beef and stuff, but I won't be having any of the potatoes or beef or stuff. But I'll be eating a lot of that stew. Yeah. Oh, there you go. That was the code.
Awesome.
It's like button soup, but in reverse.
I might have to drink beer this weekend just for the sake of inexpensive alcohol.
An inexpensive buzz. I've never seen anyone say it like that. I might have to drink beer this weekend.
I don't like beer.
I'm
going to
lay it on the line. Well, bring yourself some vodka tonics.
I will maybe do that. Speaking of drinking.
Yeah.
Continue the drunk calls.
Yeah, especially on Saturday because that's when I'll be.
Guys, this is the weekend for drunk calls. We really, really, really enjoy them.
And you know how
I feel like I'm soiling the name You All Everybody, that the transmission, the very clean cut, perfect podcast that is the transmission.
And by making it a drunk bacchanalia.
To make it a big, huge, you know, swear fest.
Yeah, you know.
But give us some calls on the Dharma line, 206-338-4261.
That's 206-338-4261. Call us when you're drunk or sober. Call us, talk about Lost or anything.
Send us some drunk emails at dharmalars@gmail.com.
No, a drunk email is very funny.
Yeah.
Or give us a drunk comment or a drunk message on MySpace at myspace.com/dharmalars.
Yes, or the other stuff. What else we got? dharmalarspodcast.blogspot.com.
Hey.
I actually read it with my eyes this time.
You got it right.
Said it with my mouth.
You got it right with your mouth.
That is where we post our episodes. You could comment on our episodes. And we also, like we said before, scottandsteve.blogspot.com. That's where we shoot the shit.
That's where we shit
about Lost.
If I had a laptop, I would shit while I was on there. But I can't do it with my desktop. I'd have to be like Mr. Fantastic to stretch my hands in.
Be like Borat. Wah, wah, wee, wah. Right out of your anus.
Now, you saw that in theaters or no?
Yes, I did.
Okay, but you just bought the DVD.
And I purchased, because I love the movie.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, and I saw that Bruno clip that you put on my MySpace.
Oh, good.
That was funny.
Are you enjoy Bruno?
Are you enjoy Bruno? Yes, yes, I am.
Awesome. There's more Bruno on that disc I made you.
I'll have to check it out.
Check it out. And there's Ali G and Borat.
So I guess we're going to wrap it up, right?
Blam, 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 blam. Yep.
Bing, bang, bing, bang, bing.
Oh, shit. Do you have an Irish movie for me this week?
Oh, shoot.
I'm not doing the commitments.
I could do the commitments.
Far and
away. Do you want to do my line and I'll do a line from the commitments?
I hate your line.
Do you want to do... Okay, well then...
Plus it's your line. I can't do your line.
Irish movie.
No, I don't know that movie. Come on, give me a good Irish movie. Old Yeller. We killed you, doggy.
That's a good line from that one. You never saw Boondock Saints?
Nope.
That ain't Netflix Q. It's pretty good.
Ah, fuck it.
Patriot Games?
No.
In the Name of
Patriot
Love?
Patriot Games last week.
Rob Roy?
James Horner did the music to that movie. It sure was a ripoff of Jerry Goldsmith. James Horner's a douche.
Is he the same douche that you called out earlier?
Hans Zimmer? They're both douches.
Oh, wow.
I will do something from my shelf. I will do a movie from a line from the movie Toy Story 2.
Okay. Am I going to do the commitments line?
No. Do whatever you want.
I think I will.
Do whatever
you
want.
But I'm not going to really... I'm going to mangle the accent. All right. I'd like to thank Ryan Moore for producing, and I'd like to thank Seattle Jimmy. I pointed at Ryan, and then I pointed up for Seattle Jimmy, because apparently
he's on a roof.
I think Seattle is
in the ceiling.
Up in heaven. I'd like to thank all the listeners, and we'll talk to you guys next week. We chipped the light fandango, did cartwheels cross the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick, but the crowd called out for more.
Did you say Lost of La Vista? I thought you were going to do that also.
Lost of La Vista.
Ah, there you go. You're a motherfucking toy, bitch, you stupid motherfucking Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, man, that's my favorite part in that movie.
There's enough swears
Pixar
today.
Has brought us a new renaissance. Fuck you, bitch, I'm Buzz. What's he say after that part? That's fucking brilliant. What's that mean? I'm fucked if I know. The commitments.
All right.
All right, guys. Have fun listening to You All Everybody. Drink beer.
Do all of this. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.
I regret to say that Ben Johnson is right. Locke was an idiot and should have been watching The Hostage. Yeah.
Hi, guys. This is Carol from California, and I just came up with something, and I was wondering if you could explain it for me. You know how Ben is explained to Sawyer on that mountainside that the reason they did that thing with the fake, like, pacemaker was because the only way to gain a con man's respect was to con him? How did they know he was a con man? Like, because I think I was led to believe, I think by the writing that Jack, they knew about Jack because they researched him, because they needed to know him. But Sawyer, how did they also know about Sawyer? This, like, adds new questions to my head, like, for how long they have been watching everybody and how much they know. Anyway, that's my only insight. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dharma Lives, this is Brian in Minneapolis.
And Eric.
And we're stuck in traffic. And we've been thinking about Lost and how good it is and how sweet it is and how cool you guys are. And, yeah. Yeah. Kate's really hot. And you guys rock.
I think Echo is the salt monster because he's black.
Hey, guys. I know I'm, like, a few podcasts late, but this has really been bothering me. It's really been weighing heavily on my mind. And I just need you to withdraw your permission for Joaquin Phoenix to get a mustache. I mean, seriously? I know that you thought that was crafty and everything, because you know how much I like him and how much I hate mustaches in the same sort of vein. So, you know, it would be crafty of you to have him get a mustache, but I need you to withdraw permission for that ASAP, because if he shows up with a mustache, because he's probably a big Dharma Lars fan, you know whose ass I'm going to kick. I live in the same room as you.
Yeah, that whole holding the log and cutting down the tree to, like, go over the fence, that was, like, the shortest 18 montage ever. And they didn't even show Saeed welding, like, a piece of metal to the front of the tree or anything. I was a little disappointed.